You are now listening to the Slaw Offices of Russo, Russo, and Peretti.
All right, and welcome back to another weekly episode of your newest and most entertaining and favorite podcast, the Slaw Office with Russo, Russo, and Peretti. I, of course, am your co-host, Robbie Russo. And by the way, guys, just to let you guys know, I recently subscribed to Stance for socks and underwear. Best thing in my life. My co-host on the East Coast, Kyle Russo.
Yeah, that's TMI, but I roll with Stance too.
All right. And
I can't lie.
The guy that lives around the corner from him as well, Nick Peretti.
Yeah, I consider myself a Hanes man. Shout out to Hanes.
Yes. Congratulations for continually supporting Walmart. We love it. Anyway, so we've got another good episode. Rather heavy on the college football. We're going to talk a lot of college football. Some ranked teams went down. Some ranked teams got beat pretty handedly. Some good teams got beat by not so good teams, in my opinion. Some top 15 worthy teams lost as well. We also are going to cover the World Series. We're going to get in there. We're going to cover a little bit of the World Series. Kyle predicted the games played. I predicted the actual winner, so I win that competition. Then we're going to talk a little. Yeah, whatever.
What?
Not the last.
What?
We're going to also get into some NFL debate, a little bit about the Saints and Rams, who's the top dog in the NFC now. Records aside, let's see who the real deal is. We'll obviously figure that out, but we'll get into all that. So, let's see, Kyle, we're going to start with the World Series. You're the baseball guru here. I mean, we all kind of watch the highlights, watch a little bit of the games. We know that you're all into that baseball. We're just kind of like a 60% into it. What's your opinion on it? What do you think?
Thanks for the oversell, but I'll take it. I think that I underestimated Boston, their scrappiness, and how much of a hard-knock team they are, man. They are resilient. A lot of clubs go one or two ways after a emotional, long 18-inning game that was won off of a big hit. So there's a lot of emotions and a lot of stuff that goes into that. So the resiliency of Boston is really, really what sticks out to me, man. They're a ragtag group, but they get it done. And they had 100 wins this year. Honestly, I don't want to touch too much into them, what they did regular season, but Kershaw, unfortunately for the Dodgers, when he missed, it was usually over the plate, and Boston made him pay big time. Can't say enough about them, man. I mean, you look at the guy that even won MVP. He's almost like a no-name guy, unless you're a really Boston fan or a New York fan or in that division like Baltimore or Toronto. But they really surprised a lot of people with the way they were able to battle back. I mean, David Price alone surprised me. I honestly thought David Price was going to fold up and Kershaw might finally show up. And that wasn't even the case at all. And I think y'all saw that as well. But, I mean, were y'all not surprised by David Price? I mean, you kind of knew Chris Sale was going to do what he does. But, I mean, for Kershaw, again, it's like, man, this guy, at some point, his reputation is going to be tarnished because no – It's a different day and age. Pitchers aren't getting up to 300 wins anymore, and this guy's not going to make it 300, I don't think. And it's got to go to his postseason resume, and it could go either way. But the guy's a good player, but he doesn't come through.
Go ahead, Nick.
Here's your problem with Kershaw is in both the games that he started, he let the Red Sox score two first inning runs, and you when you're the ace, you can't have somebody come in. You can't come in and allow a team to get an early lead on you. That's just not acceptable. And then Russo or Kyle touched on the long game and what a strain that is on a team. Not only was it in LA, LA won that game, and then Boston came back to win the next two. in LA and finish out the series. And I think that's a big deal to not have to even bring it back home in front of your own crowd, just to finish out there. That shows the resiliency of that team.
Yeah, I stood by the statement earlier or that I made last week. I feel like Clayton Kershaw is the Peyton Manning of the MLB. I feel like he is a great regular season guy, but I also feel like he just can't get it done in the playoffs. I don't understand. Like, I don't really get, I guess the great pitchers to me are the guys that come through clutch. They come through in the end. Same thing with quarterbacks, same thing with anybody that plays. Everybody clowns Eli, like Eli's having this crazy year, and we'll touch on some NFL, but like Eli wins the games that Peyton can't win. And I know it's crazy, but I think the 18 inning game took a lot out of LA. That's the one they won. They had the lead and they actually held it. They actually lost. I think they lost two from behind. They had two. I mean, they lost four. And I think two of the losses, they were actually up on top first and ended up losing. I think Boston, like Kyle said, the resiliency, man. I mean, these guys kept coming. Their sticks were just hot. They just kept knocking the ball. And I mean, they were, no pun intended, but they were doing damage to any pitcher that LA pretty much put out there and rattled them. The first inning runs, the two runs. I mean, Clayton Kershaw giving up these early runs. They gave up, I think it was four games they gave up a first inning run. LA did, not just Kershaw, but. You know, you can't do that. This is the postseason. This is where the big dogs play, and they're born. And, you know, it's giving up first inning runs. It's just going to demoralize your team. You're going to be set back off the jump. And I mean, what are you going to do with it? You know, and I just don't think the Dodgers had enough of that comeback mentality to get in there and make things happen. So, I mean, that's that on that. So.
I really think you segued perfectly into the next topic as far as not having a comeback mentality.
Yeah. And
that's what I watched with my Gators in this Florida-Georgia matchup this weekend. They just didn't have that comeback mentality when it really boiled down to it.
Yeah.
What do y'all think about it?
I mean, I wasn't able to watch a ton of the game. I watched a little bit of the game from what I saw. I think Georgia did well. I think they came in. I don't want to sit there and say they had this massive game plan or whatever you want to say, but I'm sure they did. Obviously, it's a big game. I mean, you're looking, what, 7-9 in this situation? So you're looking at two teams that were two top 10 teams, and you're hoping for a better game. Fromm played very well. I mean, to me, he played very well. I don't think the score – I mean, like I said, I didn't watch every bit of it, but I really don't feel like the score made, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it was that bad of a blowout. That's just me throwing that out there. I really don't feel like it was. I know Georgia scored two touchdowns late. So, and I think that's what kind of, after that field goal by Florida, because I did watch the end, you know, you put Florida kicking that field goal, you're down by six. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, I mean, I'm sorry, you're down by six, and all of a sudden Georgia comes back and hits you two more times right in the mouth. And to take a stab out of the Holyfield, you know, since he's on Georgia, I mean, he pretty much KO'd him with those two at the end. So, but I expect him to win. I mean, I called it, so whatever. I don't even know what the score I called, but I did call Georgia handing him a good loss, so. And I don't even know. I'm going to have to go back. I think I said it probably wouldn't be that close.
It was just a demoralizing loss, because this game really set the precedent, especially with the college football polls coming out next week. It kind of was going to put you at the forefront for these rankings upcoming, even though I think the winner is still going to be left out of the first college poll.
Right.
But I just feel like it put you in a position. It set you up for the rest of the season to kind of be there and make a statement for yourself.
I mean, demoralizing enough as it is, but I mean, you still have UCF, so they're playing top ranked teams, right? So, Kyle, what you think?
And they're still undefeated. Watch them.
Yeah, dude, they're playing Division I Triple A's, bro. That don't even exist.
So yeah, let enough teams keep losing, and you eventually make them where they force themselves I mean, the way in. Let Alabama lose to LSU and yep, Auburn,
okay,
and have a bunch of teams at the top with two losses, and they're going to let a team like UCF.
Where's UCF ranked now?
And win. They're not.
Where's UCF ranked? Should be ranked 10.
I think they're 9.
Where are they ranked?
I think they're 9. Yeah, they're 9. And guess who they played in? Top-ranked Temple. Let's go get them, boys.
Oh, wow. But anyways, back to the Florida-Georgia talk.
Jesus.
The glaring fact to me was Felipe Franks. I mean, it was Jekyll and Hyde, and then it was bad at really the worst times. It wasn't bad when he was trying to throw a 11-yard out route at the sticks or anything like that. It was bad on a flea flicker missing a guy wide open streaking down the field. It was bad missing a corner route that you threw kind of like a out route straight to a defender. I mean, he made a lot of mistakes. Him and Jake Fromm's completion percentages are kind of the same. I mean, Franks went 13 for 21. Fromm went 17 for 24. The only difference is Fromm went for 243 touchdowns. Franks went for 105, a pick and a touchdown.
I feel like this game was a lot like the LSU game. You saw a quarterback on the other side of the field that looked like the real deal and another guy who's struggling and isn't quite there and doesn't deserve to be in that conversation just yet. Because I thought the Gators coached a good game. I thought it was well coached. I thought they drew up the right plays. I thought they had some opportunities that they just missed. And it wasn't on coaching. It was really just more or less on execution.
Yeah, I mean,
Did you not think Georgia was running the ball at will?
Yeah, absolutely, they were. The numbers are there, and not just the numbers. Well, you can watch the game and see any time they ran the ball, it was 5 yards a pop. And if it wasn't 5 yards a pop, it may have been a stop behind the line. But that was once every 4 or 5 plays they were getting 5 yards, five yards, stop.
That's my point, though. How does – did you say Florida had the game in hand?
No, I didn't say anything like that. I said it was executions. Okay. I said they had opportunities and that it was more or less execution.
Well, who'd you say didn't have the game? Because, I mean, if Georgia – I mean, to me, I mean, Florida had the lead. Georgia had the lead the whole game other than one time. And then that one time that Florida took the lead, Georgia marched right back down and took the lead and then didn't let up. So, to me, it was – from what it looked like to me, Florida defensively played a very good game. The offense let them down big time in the first half. 2 big turnovers, a fumble by Scarlett really, really changed the kind of the feel and the momentum of that game. But the way Georgia was running, I was surprised at Florida's defense for breaking so early as far as the run goes. Or they did – what I will say is the goal line stand was big. They did have a huge goal line stand as far as like a pride moment in that game, and that was pretty big. But as far as the rest of it, man, it was almost bend but don't break. I didn't see a Florida defense trying to attack. I saw one kind of more on its heels, which probably when they go back and look at the tape, they probably will look back and say, man, we should have been more aggressive, you know.
Do you feel like, I mean, we all thought this game, I mean, not saying we all didn't think it was going to be a blowout. We all thought this game was going to be relatively close, correct? I mean, we thought it was going to be a really good game.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think it would be big of a difference. I didn't think the score to me got out of hand, I feel like. I even said, I wouldn't be surprised. I told you last week that Florida was playing good ball. And honestly, I wouldn't have been surprised if Florida would have won. It wouldn't have shocked me, though. But, I mean, Georgia came out hungry and they ran the ball hard. Holyfield, that kid, he runs hard.
Yeah. I
mean, Holyfield runs hard.
The plays that you don't really control just went against Florida to start the game, and it put him in bad positions. And the defense did the best that they could with the field position that they were given at times. And then Fromm made plays. He kept on finding his big play receiver. He was making plays, really just mossing dudes on the outside. He had 2 catches, almost the exact same pass. Yeah, I mean,
Well, there wasn't that much exotic pressure. Y'all didn't bring any extra pressure. Y'all just really rushed 4 for most of the part and weren't really getting home against them. Like, I'm actually curious to see how many sacks y'all had against them, honestly.
I do know that they were down really depleted in the secondary, but that's not an excuse for pressure.
So, we obviously had the Georgia-Florida game, which we thought was going to be great. And then we had this other game that involved the Florida team. And
yeah, one sack for Florida. That's not
good. Do you think I just want to touch Florida State? I mean, You got one Florida team losing, which we thought was going to be a really good game, and it was until the fourth quarter. And then you got Florida State throwing up a Derek Carr Hail Mary, where it's going to get picked off, because they looked absolutely horrible. It was against Clemson, granted. But, dude, I mean, did we honestly feel, even though Florida State's having that year, did we honestly feel like Florida State's having that year, did we honestly feel like they were going to do that?
They're way more talented than this.
10 points.
They are way more talented. They have given up, and even the coach came out and said it. I mean, Willie Taggart, I mean, I wasn't high on Willie Taggart. I think I went to Facebook before during the hire, and even saying that, like, man, I think Willie Taggart is not a very good hire. Everywhere he's been, he hasn't had a really good record. He turns programs around, but – man, those are at different places. This is Florida State, and Florida State hasn't been down like this ever. I mean, Florida State's a team that started going out and playing teams and saying, you know, we'll play you at your house and we'll beat you, and they did it. So Florida State has always been talented. This is, you know, this guy's got to go. And so I know a lot of people that like Florida State like the guy, like the hire, because what he stood for and how much he loved the school. But, I mean, he's got one or two more years because they can't buy him out. But Florida, I mean, this is bad.
What do you think? I mean, and I'm gonna let you answer on the opinion on the actual game itself and what you think. But I'm gonna interrupt just for a second. Willie Taggart, after his deal is done, he may even get bought out. I mean, is it over?
FSU's not buying anybody out. They wouldn't even give Jimbo facilities.
So he's got what, a 3-year deal? He's got 2 years left after this.
I think he might have it might be a 5. I'm honestly not sure. I don't want to.
Okay, so if obviously,
I know it's longer. I know it's longer than 3 years if his buyout's $21 million
now. When on the coaching part, and it may be early. Obviously, it's definitely early. It's not even his recruiting class and so on and so forth. But right now, win or loss for Florida State hiring Willie Taggart.
Right now, it's an obvious loss. I mean, they got talent everywhere. Francois,
okay, but if you have talent everywhere, why can't you win right now? Tell me that. That doesn't make sense.
The team hasn't bought in. Look at Florida. Look at FSU. Florida has bought into their head coach, and look at where they're at. Okay, Florida State did not buy into their head coach, and look where they're at. I mean, there's got to be middle ground there too. I mean, we've all played football here organized. I mean, there's you got to come together as a team as well, and there's got to be a head coach that could captivate that and bring them together.
The media didn't give him any love. The fans didn't give him any love. It was kind of set for him to fail from the beginning.
No, he was beloved.
I don't think anybody really liked that hire.
I mean, maybe local media. I know a lot of Florida State fans. I know a lot of Florida State fans that like that hire.
I think they were just happy with anything because of the given situation where their golden boy just left them. Their heir apparent left them.
That wasn't their golden boy. I know a lot of
he was the guy that took over after Bobby Bowden. Like, and everybody knew he was the guy for 2 or 3 years.
He was the head coach in waiting. That is true. But here's the thing, that not everyone liked Jimbo Fisher and his play calling. I guarantee Robbie 2 years from now is gonna tell us, man, Jimbo Fisher gets conservative a lot, and I hate his side-to-side wide receiver screen offense.
Screen offense actually paid off for a big-ass touchdown the other night. So, anyways.
Market today.
You can market however you want to market, but I'm just saying.
Don't talk about the touchdown, but not talk about the loss.
We're not going to touch the loss right now. We'll touch the loss in a little bit. Don't worry about that loss.
We're talking Florida State having
Cam Akers and Patrick in the backfield with Nooney Murray out on the outside with DeAndre
has 7 yards. You can't have a top running back and give him the ball 11 times and him only have 7 yards. Like, I understand they have had a lot of issues at offensive line, but there's things that you can do to scheme something up. You have a good quarterback. You should have a play-action game, but they do that same thing that you're talking about Jimbo doing with the wide receiver screens, that constant sideline-to-sideline football.
Yeah. So what do you think on that? What's your thoughts on the game, Nick, so we can get a little bit in and move on? We got a couple more games.
I think it was a given that they were going to lose to Clemson regardless. Right. But I still think after the showing that they put up with Miami, you kind of expected Florida State to show up against Clemson, and they didn't show up at all. It was – it was ugly quick. I mean, 28-0 in the first quarter, I think. They were up 40 by halftime. It was ugly quick.
Right.
No, so, no. It was 0-0 through the first quarter. I remember Florida State stopping them like 3 or 4 times, and I was like thinking it might have been a game.
Yeah.
Now Clemson threw 28 up in the second quarter.
Yeah. By halftime, it was over with. Everybody, you look at anything you want to say, and by halftime, the game was over. So.
Yeah. That's true.
All right.
So their first four in the second quarter. Every drive they had in the second quarter, they scored.
Yeah. I think it was near the targeting call too.
Right. So scrolling down, Kentucky squeaks by Missouri. Surprised by the squeak or no?
Well, I mean, there was a very controversial call. I actually went back and saw it. I got a couple other people's takes on it. I mean, and from what I'm understanding and from what I saw, it was an iffy call. But I mean, the call is a call.
It's going to be iffy. Everything's iffy right now.
Here's the thing with Kentucky. Kentucky was the better. They weren't the better team that game, but they're the better team. They're better than Missouri, and they found a way to win, and that's what makes them the better team in my eyes. Just because Kentucky needs to just figure out a quarterback situation.
Their quarterback is not a passing quarterback.
But they got to find out the best thing for their quarterback. I mean,
you've got a stud running back. And if you would pair him with a decent quarterback, like somebody that's better than Joe Burrow's, then he would be okay. Like Kentucky would win more games.
Georgia will expose Kentucky this weekend.
21-point win or no?
Yeah.
17 point win or more. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm calling 21 plus. So
I give it 14. Kentucky has Yeah. I mean, Kentucky's got a really solid defense.
Like standout that the linebacker and
yeah.
Drawing a blank on his dang name, but
Josh Allen.
There you go. Josh Allen. Yeah. Josh Allen's a stud. And then, actually both the linebackers are pretty stud. And then, we'll see what happens, but okay. So we're moving on. Texas A&M takes a loss to Mississippi State. Surprised? Obviously, you guys aren't. I am.
I mean, I was surprised. I thought A&M. I thought A&M was going to
couldn't run the
ball. Yeah. See, that's the thing with Jimbo. That was a complaint at Florida State. People said Jimbo, that's a soft offense. They don't run downhill. You know, they can't get the tough yard when they need it. And Jimbo ends up throwing it sideways, and it's
an RPO all day with them. It's an RPO.
Yeah, but here's the thing: Mississippi State punches people in the mouth. They play physical
football.
Right. They punch people in the mouth on line of scrimmage. They have two first round D linemen that not even other teams in the SEC have. They have the best D line in the SEC. So, there you go.
Kyle, I feel like Texas A&M, even since they came into the league, they never did really adapt to the SEC style. They still play a Big 12 style of football, like that spread offense. They've never really adapted
to this style. I mean,
they're still being stubborn and trying to win it's been consistent year after year.
Exactly with that, because the other team that plays like that's Ole Miss. Ole Miss, which by all means, those are the type of teams that beat Alabama that could sling it around. Clemson, Ole Miss, A&M.
To go along with it.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, you could – yeah, very true, but you could – as long as your defense could stop the run – in the old days against Alabama, now it looks like they get
okay. So Jimbo wasn't completely RPO. He did bring somewhat of a pro style offense, right?
Yeah, but that was a knock that they can't get the hard.
But do you think that transitions over to A&M?
Yeah,
I think he's going to get his recruits, but
yeah, I think Jimbo's going to run an exotic look. I think he's going to run a lot of hurry up. I think he'll do a lot of spread it during the hurry up, and then I think he'll switch it up and go pro style when they're either winning or trying to run a 3 minute offense.
I mean, they're still right.
I think he's still a really great offensive mind, but I think he overthinks a lot of situations. Jimbo schemes a lot of stuff up, but I think he gets too conservative at times where it ends up coming back to bite him. Where if you just go down and score, you can just end it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as everything else goes with all the games, A&M still has Auburn. They still have Ole Miss. They obviously still have LSU, and they get a cake game. I think week 12, they get a – I think it's a cake game against UAB. So, I still think we went out. We'll be top 15, and y'all can suck it. So,
Well, I mean, if you beat LSU, you'll be ranked higher because that's the whole reason why Florida was ranked so high.
We'll beat LSU. I'm not worried about that.
Because they beat LSU.
All right, so let's move. Let's talk two more games. I want to briefly touch on Arizona-Oregon. It's nothing major, but Khalil Tate comes back, and Kevin Sumlin gets a signature win for Arizona over at that time, 19th-ranked Oregon. They'll be unranked now. And it wasn't just like, hey, we beat you by, like, a final score. They won 44-15. Like, it wasn't even close. And when I say, like, it wasn't even close, I'm not looking at, like, it wasn't close at the end, like the Georgia-Florida game. Arizona was up at half. They were up 23-8. At the end of the third quarter, it was 37-8. The game was over. Like, it wasn't even close. Oregon exposed, obviously. I think the big issue, like, I think Herbert, I don't know. He went on Manziel. He did Manziel numbers. He was 50% passing, less than 200 yards. He did a subpar day. Real quick, what are y'all thoughts?
Well, I mean, you can't run the ball. You're going to have to throw it 50 times. So, I mean, I think there's real problems with that Oregon offense too. I know they sling it around a lot, but I mean, you only have a guy over 50 yards rushing. That's
one dimensional.
Yeah. Very, very one dimensional.
And then you get someone like JJ Taylor who runs for over 200 on them from Arizona. Yep. So,
yep.
I think their run defense was truly exposed that game. So.
Yeah, but nothing that Oregon does is really surprising me this season. That's their third loss already. They've lost pretty much to all of their ranked games. I think they lost to Washington State early. Stanford was a big game at the time when they played them. They lost that game.
But Arizona came in the game 3-5, dude. They looked absolutely debacled. Like, their season's obviously
that was my next question. So what are we more – are we more impressed by Arizona or unimpressed by Oregon right now? Because – it could go either way. Y'all are both making good points.
I think they both deserve a little bit of credit deserves both. Kevin Sumlin for getting those boys to play up to a team that's better than them. And then you're upset with Oregon for losing to a team that's not as good as you. And not really just losing, but like y'all said, really just getting smashed on.
Well, because Mario Cristobal
shit the bed.
Because Mario Cristobal is the type of coach and the type of recruiter that's really hard-nosed and really gets after. There's no give-up. And that score looks kind of like a give-up because I don't believe that Oregon is that much – or Arizona is that much better than Oregon.
Right. I mean, Oregon did – they did have three turnovers. They did fumble – actually fumbled the ball. I did look this up a while ago, but they did fumble. They actually had four fumbles, lost two of them. But, I mean, they fumbled the ball a lot. They were very – in the conditions, was it raining? I mean, why were they so loose with the football? Like, to me, that's a big ordeal because Arizona had zero fumbles. They did have the interception, but threw a pick. But I mean,
it's that league. It's that league that if your defense doesn't show up, somebody's going to put up 50 on you.
Yeah.
But I think we just got done talking last week about their quarterback being a top draft pick. And you got to show up every week. Every single week.
I don't remember saying top draft pick. He had an arm. He has an NFL arm.
The better quarterback prospects, I believe, is what we're getting at. So, all right, enough of that. Let's go to the big one. Oklahoma State at Texas. Somebody sold them off. I'm happy. I'm anti-Texas. I did preach for them in episode 2 and section 2, chapter 1, section 2. I did preach for them saying that Texas – if they went out, I feel like they should deserve a college football playoff spot. They lost, so now I can actually be happy with my life and not worry about Texas making the playoffs. Guys, what do y'all think about Oklahoma State coming out early, punching Texas in the mouth early, and then hanging on to win?
Well, I feel like this is the perfect game to end with because it's a perfect segue into the college football playoff poll. But I'm glad they lost. I think it's starting to make the rest of the season exciting. Now it's a complete wash up. Everybody's got to play each other still. All the top teams still have some tough games, championship games. I feel like that game is really just the start of everything getting excited.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, Texas didn't run the ball at all. I mean, they were frustrated. You could tell Tom Herman was frustrated even at the damn near at the end of the game when he ran across the field ready to fight Gundy.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
They put it on him. Texas isn't for real. And the verdict is still out on Tom Herman. I mean, a pass-happy offense. I mean, now you've been beaten a couple times now by squads that are really inferior. So it's your big win is Oklahoma. You're there because you beat Oklahoma, and really that's it. So we'll figure that out at the end of the year. But, yeah, I'm not high on Texas. I'm not shocked they lost.
And I know Gundy's gotten offers. He's had to have gotten offers at bigger schools, and I don't know why he hasn't left yet, because he just doesn't get the talent to compete year in and year out. He does get them. He makes them relevant every now and then, but I just don't know why he hasn't decided to leave yet and take a bigger job, because he's a hell of a coach. He got real excited. He got real excited after the game too.
I think he can. I think he can get away with it in Oklahoma having that haircut like he normally does. So I think it's kosher. So.
He can do that in LSU. He'd fit right in there in Louisiana, boy.
Okay, that's Gainesville with the jorts. That's Gainesvillians with the jorts on, doing God knows what, you know, probably kissing their cousin. Who knows?
Well, next week, the Mountaineers play the Longhorns. Before we get to the college football rankings, who do you got? Quick, West Virginia, Texas, go.
West Virginia.
Did I just not say Texas is irrelevant?
All right. Again. West Virginia as well. Clean sweep across the board. We don't have a pick'em show, but we're just throwing that out there, folks. That's extra. That shit's free. You're not even paying for the podcast, and you're still getting more free shit on top. It's called Lanyap. It's shit you need to learn. It's a Louisiana term. Anyways, college football playoffs. Tomorrow, when you get this podcast, obviously, when you go to iTunes, because we're on iTunes now, when you type in the Slaw Office and you listen to this podcast before this stupid college football, what time's the college football rankings come out? In the evening? They're going to make a big ordeal about it.
Yeah, probably like 8:30.
It's like the decision with LeBron. 8:30 East Coast time, 7:30 Central, so on and so forth. So here's the ordeal, guys. We're going to pick the college football playoff team before you. You're actually going to get this because this episode may be out.
The real one.
Before ESPN goes out. So let's start off. I'm going down by the rankings. We know what we got. First and foremost, number four, Kyle, who do you have at number four? Go.
I've got the Bayou Bengals, LSU, at number four.
Nick, who do you have at number four?
I got the Lakers of college football, LSU.
And we'll be a clean.
So Burrow's LeBron.
They're purple and yellow, and I hate them.
So Coach O's LeBron.
Don't say yellow; it offends them. It's gold.
Yeah, it's gold.
Jesus.
Freaking jorts wearing, dips. Oh, dip drinking. I don't even. Right now, let's get this thing going.
I have LSU at number four as well, and you know what? To be honest with you, I'm super close on that. I'm very I almost, and you can give me all the flack you want, but I almost chose Michigan. I think if Michigan continues to play good ball, I think
maybe if LSU didn't play Alabama next week, then. But I think the committee knows.
Yeah,
they play each other, and they're going to have everybody up in arms. Oh, two SEC teams in the top four.
Yeah,
and
they're
knowing that they're going to play each other out of the game.
Yeah.
In 1 week.
Okay, so we had a LSU. It's going on record. LSU is going to be the four seed in the college playoffs. The three seed, Kyle. Who do you got?
I've got Notre Dame.
Nick,
I'm going to go with the Golden Domers, Notre Dame.
I actually have Clemson at number three. I just think Notre Dame's more hard-nosed. I think they're a better team. I don't know.
I'm going to tell you why I think you're like wrong, because they're not going to drop a team down after putting up that many points on a team like Florida State.
But Florida State's trash. So
they have no reason. They have no reason to pull them down.
But Florida State,
you're entitled to your opinion. The rankings will come out.
They will come out. They will. Don't worry about that. So the number two, Nick, who do you got at two?
Clemson's at number two.
Kyle?
Clemson as well.
I'll take Notre Dame at two, obviously. I was going to ask you guys what the number one team was, but we all know.
UCF. Undefeated.
I'm sorry, but I'm you know what? When they play a team, when they go on the road and play a team that has a stadium and they sell out their stadium for 1,300 people in the stadium, you know, then they don't deserve to be ranked. I'm sorry. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think
UCF, Boise State got their opportunity.
Dude, Boise State's a better school. And was
Boise State went out and played teams. Boise State actually went out and scheduled big boy teams. Like, they actually played Oregon. Like, that. I haven't seen.
Your big boy team's North Carolina, and they canceled that game. And they're actually 1-9 this year. So, go. You can actually. You know what, Kyle? Bring your couch real quick. Bring your couch in here, Kyle. I got someone that needs to sit down on that couch. And it's the UCF fanatic, Nick Peretti. Like, dude, get.
I told you that
they deserve a spokesperson. Somebody's got to speak out on their behalf. They've won a lot of games consecutively. They beat Auburn. They beat Auburn. Who beat Alabama?
Florida fans can't speak for themselves enough. They got to speak for UCF fans now too.
I guess. So obviously it's unanimous.
I can speak for LSU fans too.
It's oh, you
throw out of there.
It's unanimous, right? Alabama at one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alabama at one.
All right. Alabama wins it all, right?
And.
Kicks.
Red
elephants. So, hey, hold on.
Go ahead, make an argument. Let's.
No. I'm trying to say about UCF.
Oh, okay. Why do we waste so much time on such insignificance? I just don't understand.
Because they're just. It needs to be because
like an itch that needs to be scratched. The poison ivy.
They are like
the slaw office. Honestly,
they are like the little kid. They're like the little kid that is riding their bike with training wheels on. And then you have the other kid, the same age, riding a bike with no training wheels.
Yeah.
And UCF is like, look at me. I haven't fell yet.
Yeah.
I'm still undefeated. Haven't fallen.
All right. Well,
unbeaten.
That was like the third worst analogy I've ever heard.
Wait.
Unbeaten.
Not bad. I like it. I mean, if you would have said that the other dude on the bike was like riding backwards blindfolded, you know, then maybe it would have been more relevant. But all right. So
I wasn't comparing them to LSU season.
Oh, God.
I mean, because.
Okay. We need to move on. We need to evacuate. And
hold on. Let's not jump off the college football playoffs just yet because this is about to get exciting. This is about to get exciting because Alabama and LSU are going to play each other. So only one of those two teams are going to stay.
Then Alabama wins.
Georgia is the other team in the East that you would expect to possibly be there, but then they still have Kentucky, who only has one loss. They have to play each other. The winner of that game, assuming they still go and win out the rest of the year, would have to play the winner of the LSU-Alabama game in the SEC championship. And so it's actually looking like there will only be one SEC team in the college football playoffs this year.
Okay, let's hypothetically. And I'm not saying, you know, whatever. I'm predicting Alabama to win. I don't know what the score is going to be. I don't care. I predict Alabama to win.
We'll put a score on it. No. Let's put a score on it.
I want to hear the top three. The top three teams stay the top three teams all year, and the number four spot is the only one that's up for grabs.
20-13 Alabama.
Okay, because the line right now is 14.5.
I think they
can. Yeah, that's disrespectful.
I mean, maybe 24-13, maybe 11 points. I just don't. It's
they have to cause turnovers on defense to do that.
It's in Death Valley.
Because LSU's defense isn't going to just let Alabama come in. Because here's the thing.
And that 14.5 point underdog that's right stupid. Now. LSU hasn't been that big of an underdog in 21 years.
Okay? 17-3 final.
That's 14.
17-3. Okay.
Spread, so.
Here's the last two games in Death Valley with Alabama, LSU. Overtime game.
Yep.
2 years last time in Death Valley, a 10-0 game. 10-0 game, which was a 0-0 game going deep into that fourth quarter, which I'm not going to say anything, but allegedly, I'm told, even though I watched the game, allegedly there was three holds on one play where Jalen Hurts scored the only touchdown of the game. Allegedly.
Yeah, everybody talks about that.
But no, I think it's a big blow for LSU not having 40 in the middle of that defense. I think
Right.
I think it plays right now.
That's definitely going to be a key factor.
I think we're going to see if they trust Joe Burrow or not.
But here's the thing. That game every year is won in the trenches. No, it don't matter who you have on the outside. Don't matter who you have at quarterback. Don't matter who you have at running back. That game is won in the trenches. And then outside of the trenches, there's always one big thing to happen, all right? And that big thing this year is either going to be Bama's wide receivers versus LSU's DBs. That's going to be the difference maker.
Well, you look at honestly, they've had, two games in the last, six or seven maybe 10? They don't hit 30 points often. We know that.
Well, here's the difference. They have a quarterback they actually trust. So that's the kind of the unknown right now, where Saban's always gone into LSU and played very conservative, other than that 2011 national championship game where he kind of caught everybody off guard.
Right, so, but that 2000 national championship game, they actually in that 2011, that's the one they lost though. They lost.
Yeah. LSU lost to Alabama, but I'm saying
regular season.
Yeah, they lost the regular season that one.
That was in 2010. They lost the regular season. LSU actually won 24-21. So, and that was the time LSU. So
yeah, they won back to back years those years, but the next year was a 6-9 game, I believe.
Well, so
or 6-3. I think it was 6-3. Yeah, it was 9-6. It was 9-6 game.
Overtime.
Yeah.
That was an overtime.
Yeah, overtime game.
That was the year LSU.
And then they came. Yeah, when undefeated, Alabama came back, played him in the national championship game, and opened it up with McCarron, opened it all the way up, where he's actually slinging it around. That game, listen, and that was a 3-0 game at halftime too. So let's not say it was a blow. I mean, it got ugly at the end because it was.
You're right, but I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it was. It was like a 0-0 or 3-0 game at halftime in the national championship game.
I'm just looking at the spread. Like traditionally, I don't think LSU has lost to Alabama, I think, by 14 besides one time. And that was
another reason why Les lost his job, though, because he played Jared Lee the whole year while Jordan Jefferson got in that bar fight at the beginning of the year. Didn't play Jordan Jefferson the last few games of the year, then started him the whole championship game. He didn't even play him in he barely even played him in the SEC championship game. You're going to start this kid over Jared Lee, who's played the whole year? I mean,
I do want to interject real quick and say that regardless of who wins in the West, Georgia's not going to beat them. I don't think Georgia wins the SEC this year. The winner of the West wins the SEC and goes on to the playoffs.
Okay, so I'm going to ask one thing, and then we're going to move on to NFL real quick. Last thing, I need a quick answer on it. Alabama loses this game. Are they still top four team?
No.
Yes. Yeah. It's Alabama. What are we talking about? It's Alabama still. So let's say they go into Death Valley and lose. It's happened before. So now that team's not even a playoff team. I mean, let's get real. Come on.
There's too many other deserving teams at this point in the season. Other one-loss teams
UCF
have lost earlier.
They're
in
more
the year.
Deserving than Alabama, I bet.
That's not what
they're
I said.
Not
I didn't say anything like that. But a team like Michigan instantly deserves to go into that spot because they still have to play Ohio State. Why does a one-loss Alabama team deserve to be in the top four over a one-loss Georgia team when both of their losses to LSU? Please tell me, a loss in LSU in Death Valley. You can't differentiate between those two teams, so therefore you put Michigan in that spot.
Okay, so what I think is this.
Because of the coach is why.
I think it depends on the score. I think if Alabama loses by 10, I think Alabama's out. If Alabama loses by 3 in overtime or something like that, they'll keep Alabama in the top 4. All right, let's move on. All right, last segment.
You're gonna let Alabama in the playoffs again without winning their own conference?
That's what they do every year. It's Alabama, bro. Like Kyle said, it's Alabama. So, anyways,
if they have Saban, they're one of the best teams in the country every year. So, I mean, until he's gone, it is what it is.
And we'll talk more on it. Obviously, next week once the game goes, we'll hit on it. We could probably be on here a lot longer. But all right, let's go to the NFL. Couple topics. Obviously, Saints play the Rams this week. First of all, first question, multiple part questions. Who you got, Saints or Rams?
I like the Saints.
Kyle?
Who that?
Oh, God, I'm going to throw up in my mouth a little bit. I'll take the Saints as well. Reasoning behind it, though. Let's talk reasonings. We got 5-6 minutes left. Let's talk reasons. Go.
Just real quick. I mean, you go on two road games to two potential playoff teams. I mean, one obviously was the Vikings, obviously a playoff team, right, and you kind of smack them in the mouth. And then the Ravens, you go and smack them in the mouth, even though the Ravens kind of took one on the chin.
Ravens, let's talk about the Ravens.
They kind of got exposed again to the Panthers.
Exposed? The Ravens. If Dennis Green was right here right now, you know what he'd be saying.
What we thought they were.
Listen, the Ravens do have a good defense.
Just like Cincinnati. Okay.
Or who we thought they were.
Yeah, but don't forget about
they're
the Saints.
They're better than Cincinnati. Right, stop. They're better than Cincinnati.
Everybody's just
they thought they were. They're not amounting to anything but a wild card at most.
Well, I mean, maybe the Panthers are better than we thought they were.
If you want to crown them, then crown them. But they are who we thought they were.
I mean, every year there's
until Cam Newton's gone, though.
Every year there's two teams out of that NFC South that end up coming up together. There's no one ever just runs away with that division. Two teams, whether it's the Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Panthers, Saints. It don't matter. They two of those teams end up having great years every year, and the Panthers have been kind of slept on.
Yeah, well, so what do you have now, Kyle? What are you saying? You're saying so they're playing Minnesota. They played Minnesota. They played Baltimore on the road.
Two good defenses. And then Drew Brees. I mean, look at his numbers. I mean, he passed like 100 yards, and they go and beat Minnesota. I mean, if you tell
Drew Brees had a horrible game. If I was about to say that. So you mean to tell me, like, if I would ask anybody right now,
he didn't have a horrible game.
He passed for like what, 180? 160, 180?
Something like that. It was like 160.
It's very un-Drew Brees-like.
Yeah, but I mean, that shows how Marcus Davenport, 2 sacks last night, a strip sack as well, almost recovered it. I mean, a lot of people had a lot of bad things to say about that pick, but Marcus Davenport looks like he's going to be only, 22 next year, and an elite pass rusher looking like. The kid could bend the corner, and he's big.
Okay.
Here's why I think the Saints are going to do it, because – Well, first they play each other. Where's the game at? Do you guys know where the game is?
It's in New Orleans.
It's New Orleans going to be.
It's in New Orleans.
I believe it's a 4 o'clock game though.
I see it now. It's
which is crazy.
Game.
Why wouldn't it? Be? That's so stupid.
Yeah, you got to flex that. You got to flex that.
That is a big time game. But the Saints have some big time wins, like you guys said, the two teams that you guys named. But they also beat another division leader in the Redskins. Right. And they dummied the Redskins, and Their only hiccup was Fitzmagic to start the season. I think he kind of caught everybody off guard. But I think when you think of the Saints, you think that they're scoring 40 points a game just to win. And, well, let me tell you, they are scoring 40 points in wins. They've done that 3 times this season. But they're also doing it in tight games. Just like Kyle said, Drew Brees barely threw for 100 yards, and they still got a win. They're playing close, tight games as well. Even the 40-point games, they had a couple of close ones. And – They're finding ways to win games, and good teams will do that. And I think that with the Rams are going to think that they can get in a shootout. They're going to believe in themselves. They're going to believe that they can have a shootout, and I think they're just going to prove themselves to be wrong.
And I'm with you. I think that if you look at it like this, and you know, both make excellent points, you really, truly do. I look at it like this. If the Rams jump out early, I think they'll be okay. I'm calling the Saints winning because I don't really think the Rams will jump out early. I don't think their defense will show up early enough and be, I guess, contain Drew Brees or whatever.
The two teams are real similar when you watch.
They are. Well, okay. So I'm going to make this point, and somebody said this, and I'm going to steal it from them. But it's the truth, and you don't have to in certain leagues now, especially the NFL. Your defense doesn't have to be amazing. Your offense, as long as it's amazing, your defense just has to be able to stop them here and there for you to win the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got high-powered offenses. I don't care what anybody says. The Saints and the Rams, dude, their offenses are – now, the Cooper Kupp thing, that does hinder the Rams a little bit.
It's going to hurt them.
I don't think he's in. I think he's out. I think he's ruled out for this game. I'm not on the injury report. I don't listen to everybody like Adam Schefter and all these other guys. So, I don't know. And it's only Monday right now, so we never know. But – if Cooper Kupp's out, the Rams' offense is limited a little bit, I think. And I think that does hurt them because I think with the addition of Eli Apple, I think the Saints' defense is enough now to kind of just contain them. You know what I'm saying? And limit them. You don't have to stop them. You just need to limit them. And
I think Cup missed 2 weeks. I think he's already missed two games with a concussion. I highly doubt him missing three.
No. Cooper Kupp has an ankle injury. He got rolled up on.
So that was on top of the concussion that he had? Because he went out that game.
Yeah, he came back, and then he got kind of not really horse-collared, but he kind of got tackled on his shoulder pads, and his ankle kind of got caught up underneath him on the sideline.
So he's a iffy.
My thing is with these two teams, they played last year in L.A., and it was actually a really good game.
Yes.
It was back and forth. I think that L.A. is not a very big home advantage at all. If you watched that game yesterday with them in Green Bay, there was at least 50% Packer fans there.
That's an Aaron Rodgers thing, bro. He's from Cal.
Either way, you've seen a lot of other people in that
state. You hear that? Okay. Objection, Your Honor.
Here's the thing.
It's a Cal quarterback. They built this up all week, Cal versus Cal.
No.
They set up how Jared Goff idolized Aaron Rodgers.
So everyone was wearing Aaron Rodgers jerseys. No, I seen a ton of Clay Matthews jerseys. I've seen a ton of other jerseys. What are we talking about?
Aaron Rodgers is more expensive now. It's like stock, you know. He's coming home. He's the cow. Okay. You're gonna raise the price. Whatever.
Here it is.
Oh my gosh! All right, so we all picked the Saints, right?
Yeah.
The Rams do have a fighting chance. It's gonna be a back and forth game.
This is a toss up. But I'm trusting
Drew Brees over Jared Goff.
So, but you're talking about wins and stuff like that with the Saints. You think? I mean, blowout.
It's a close game, and I don't believe Aqib Talib's gonna be back either. I don't believe.
There's a lot of pressure. The undefeated pressure.
So you've had close games. The Saints have close games. One of the close games they had was with Cleveland, right?
Cleveland, yeah, they had one against Cleveland. They squeaked it out. They had a close one against the Falcons in overtime.
Nick, what happened to Cleveland?
Well, Cleveland fired their head coach today and sent right along with him their offensive coordinator in Todd Haley. That's Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley getting fired today. And I'm pretty jacked up about it.
So I'm pretty fired up about it. That's why I'm bringing this up, because I know you got something to say. Look, this is your time. The ball's in your court. You got a minute or two. Go at it.
Shoot it.
I just feel like the Cleveland Browns made a great decision, and they have been making great decisions for about a year now. It's been solid. They had a good draft. I thought that they have made good moves in the offseason. They put together a good roster. I really like Baker Mayfield, and I like the way they brought him in. I'd say some of the coaching decisions have been poor, and I think in reaction to that, they've now gotten rid of those coaches. But they gave us a glimpse inside of what was happening on the show on HBO's Hard Knocks, and all you saw was constant bickering between Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, and they were constantly trying to see who had more control in the room. They were constantly contradicting each other and trying to see whose word stood over the others, and it was clear as an audience, and it was also clear from the other guys sitting around the table, the other coaches. And I think that caused all kinds of rift between the organization, and I think ultimately they made the right choice. I think Greg Williams is kind of pushing the envelope a little bit because I haven't forgotten him.
I haven't forgotten him with Bounty Gate. Even dating back to Tennessee, he was a guy that kind of was toeing the line. But here's the thing. Here's what's not surprising. Cleveland's still a dumpster fire, bro. What are you talking about? You like the moves they're making, all the offseason moves they made? They've shipped those guys away. Carlos Hyde gone. Josh Gordon gone, bro.
Those aren't offseason moves. Those were in-season moves.
I like the moves that they made going into the season.
Yeah, they built a team to be excited about.
What are we talking about? They folded all their everything.
They built a team that you should be excited about. You were excited about them coming into the season.
I was excited about them.
I expected them to win six games this year.
Because of Hard Knocks?
No, because they had zero wins last year, and they drafted the Heisman winner in Baker Mayfield. They drafted Nick Chubb. I liked what I saw on this team.
Well, here's the thing. I think Hugh Jackson being where he was, he's been in this bad spot for, 3 years now, and they keep letting him stay. It was about time. So, Kyle, you got a couch. Bring it in here. Tell somebody to sit down. We got to wrap this up.
Oh, man. And honestly, I'm glad this just rolls right off the tongue, right in cue, because it's the damn Cleveland Browns. Okay. Dorsey, come sit down, big fella, because you know what? You should have done this move. Like Nick said, when you seen bickering and arguing on the second episode of Hard Knocks. Okay. You seen Todd Haley rolling his eyes. You seen there was division in that, in the coaches' meeting room. There's division. What do you think this team's going to be? Okay, your best leader is Jarvis Landry. You know, I mean, the moves are stupid that they're making. Josh Gordon, see ya. Okay, so all right. Let's see.
Carlos, that's not such a bad move considering that the Patriots have now played.
Yeah, for being a little late to a meeting. That's
for a fifth round. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And then for a fifth round pick, Carlos Hyde. I mean, let's give away arguably two of our best offensive weapons before the season for fifth round picks. Okay. Yeah. All these great moves that are going on. The Cleveland Browns are a dumpster fire and always will be one. Mr. Dorsey, come sit down because you botched this one. As all the good you've done in Kansas City, you botched this. Even with this being a botched job already, you somehow dolled it up and made it uglier.
All right. Well, we're done here.
You're a pretty girl with a bad attitude.
I need to go and watch the Robbie. Rest of – yeah, okay. I need to go watch the rest of Monday Night Football because I'm down by a lot of points, and I got three players to play. So, go Tom Brady. Thank you guys for choosing – to listen to us once again, three idiots doing what we like to do, talking about sports, getting you riled up, making fun of each other, and all the UCF crap that Nick's got to deal with. Seriously, guys, thank y'all so much. Be sure to comment, be sure to like us, subscribe to us, do all that good stuff that you do on all your social media networks. We want to thank you for tuning in. And as always, court is adjourned.
Go Tigers.
Sign your pity on a running cat.